Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for the last Sunday in July, July 29th. And tonight our guest is RJ. He was a finalist in Face Off, and he was also a fan favorite. But before we speak with RJ, we will speak with my sister Denise, who has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I just wanted to thank everyone who participated in the paint-a-thon last week, last Monday, down at Philly Farm. For those of you who watched the series of face and body paintings that took place to help support Brian Wolf, to help his family actually provide money for expenses dealing with his illness. So we just want to thank you all for that. And also just wanted to mention a few classes that MAC Cosmetics has coming up. And for those of you who are fans of MAC or who may have the MAC Pro Card, you're probably already aware about this, or you probably will be aware soon. They're having some two-day classes taking place in New York, Miami, as well as L.A. August 5th and 6th, the New York classes will take place. August 19th and August 20th, the L.A. classes will take place. August 26th and 27th, the Miami classes will take place. And those classes will be color theory from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is all on day one. Contouring from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. and beauty lab from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that takes place in all of those cities on the first day of their classes. Day two of those classes, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., finding inspiration, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., what makes a good photograph, and from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., experimentation and creative workshop. And again, that's day two of those classes. And I'll repeat the cities. That's New York City, August 5th and August 6th, Los Angeles, August 19th, August 20th, and Miami, August 26th and August 27th. For more information, you can visit macpro.com. All right. And for those of you who are out there listening, and if you have a comment or a question for tonight's guest, you can call in at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And I just ask that you keep your comments and your questions to a minimum so that way everyone else will get a chance to get theirs in as well.
Also,
we're accepting questions in the Beauty Lounge. So if you have any questions, please go ahead out there in the Beauty Lounge and type those questions in, and we promise to get those questions on for you guys.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the Beauty Lounge, that is the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio.
And let's see if this is our guest right here. Hello.
Hello.
Is this RJ?
This is RJ.
Hi, RJ.
Hi, RJ.
Hello, you beautiful ladies. How are you?
We are wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Again, everyone, our guest tonight is RJ Hattie. Why don't you just start off by just telling everyone who you are and how they would probably know you, what you're known for.
Well, I'm a special effects artist, and I was on this season's Face Off and was a finalist and the internet fan favorite. So there you go. That's how people would know me.
And how did you get started with special effects?
Well, that's a good question. I guess way back to when I was a kid, I was interested in puppetry mostly, and then it kind of led into makeup from that. Had a great education at my alma mater, Capital High School, and was a performing arts magnet school, so we had a good theater department then, led by Molly Robinette, and I kind of got bit by that over there, making things. I was always wanting to have the nicest, the coolest Halloween costume, so I wanted to, you know, you couldn't go out and buy foam appliances, prosthetics back then, so you had to learn how to make them yourself.
Wow. So
I,
that's pretty much.
Yeah. Huh?
Interesting. That's
I then I went to Joe Belasco after high school, and just started working out in California when I was in my early 20s, and then came home for a little bit, had a little bit of a lull, and, you know, came home for some family issues, and now I'm trying to get back into it, so there you go.
And home is where?
Home's in West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay, and so you're now at the point you're trying to kind of get back into your whole special effects career.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be accurate.
Okay.
You could say that.
So what inspired you to audition for Face Off?
How did I come to audition for Face Off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was kind of a funny story. I have one of my kids, we had actually started watching Face Off part of, you know, what the kids and I would do in class. I teach a special effects class at the high school. And so, we looked into watching part of it during lunches, and kids would download the episode the night before and then come and bring it in on Thursday, and we'd watch it together. And by the time the first season ended, the kids really pushed me to do it. It was really the kids. They said, you need to do this. And my father had just passed away, and I was, you know, reticent to do it. When you sign all the paperwork, it sounds like you're signing your life away. I mean, basically are, but the kids said, you know, don't do it for yourself. Do it for your dad, because your dad would have wanted you to do it. And that was one of the things I just thought, oh, well, when you put it that way, I couldn't say no at that point. So that's where that came from.
Wow. What was it like to present your work in front of artists like V. Neil and Patrick and Glenn, and even some of the guest artists?
Well, I mean, that was the thing, yeah. I mean, that was the the most nerve-wracking part of it. The work schedule wasn't that big of a deal for me. It was being grilled by those guys every episode. We would shoot an episode in about 3 days. So we would shoot two episodes. Two episodes would be shot every week. And it was the worst part of the week, the elimination day, because you never knew if you were going home or not. I think it would have been easier, you know, it would have been easier to say, you know, if you just casually walked up to V. Neil and said, hey, I just did this makeup. What do you think of this? You know, that's okay. I would love to hear her critique. I mean, that's the way you would get better. You know, you would better yourself as an artist. But because it was in the show environment, because it was somebody was going home and we didn't know who it was going to be, that was what made it so nerve-wracking, because you wanted to stay. I mean, that was the whole point. You want to, I mean, it's like a glorified game show, basically. I mean, you're there to win. The object is to win, not to get sent home. So nobody wanted to go home.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was that day like when you said you would shoot two episodes in a week? So the start of a brand new episode, what was that day like when you wake up in the morning? Take us through that whole process.
Oh, gosh. Well, it would depend on what was happening and what the episode was, and we never knew what was happening until it happened. They're really good at keeping secrets, the production crew. we would wake up, we would go to a location, and they would either give us a foundation challenge if we were having a foundation challenge, or we would have the introduction, Mackenzie standing there giving us the introduction to the spotlight challenge. And they would pick some crazy places to take us. Like we went to the aquarium in that Long Beach. We went out to the woods for one of them. You know, we went to the Watchtowers for the Burton-esque episode. So they were taking us all over the place. Little crazy little field trips. They were always a lot of fun. So you know, you never knew where you were going to end up on any given morning. But then at that point, they would let us, you know, they'd start the clock rolling after they filmed the introduction. And once the clock starts, it doesn't stop until the end of the day. And then we would go home and we would record either one day we would record some things in the morning, and then the next day we would record things in the evening, depending on how it worked out in the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to get some, they would call that house reality. So that's about it. I mean, then we would have the third day, we would have the full day of work in the shop the next day, and then the third day would be the application and the elimination on the soundstage. So it was very intense, because you had, you know, a 3 day period there, and it's a short frame of time to do the things that we were doing, as anybody that does the work would know. In fact, I thought they were joking with us when we went out for the, I thought they were joking. I thought after watching season one, I thought, well, this is a TV show. They can stop and start a camera. They can edit it to look like it was this kind of a time frame.
Right.
And, I thought it was a big put-on as a viewer. But when I went out for the audition, they were like, no, this is exactly what it is. And I went, wow, what have I got myself into?
So did you have a break in between the episodes, like just a day in between?
No. It would be like a Wednesday, and then the Thursday we would start the very next episode, and then we would go till Saturday. Sunday would be the downtime for us if there was any. So what did
you all do during your downtime if you had any?
Oh, well, that's the thing. You know, you're living in a house and you don't have a telephone. You don't have you don't have an internet. You don't have we didn't have sketchbooks even, or newspapers or any kind of a communication with the outside world. So it was and it was that's how you get so close with everybody. You either want to hug them or choke them, and. Just like any dysfunctional family, you know, and that's basically what we turned into because of that, you know, environment. We're all very, very ridiculously close, considering everything that we went through, you know, and at least I feel that we are. Maybe some people may not agree with me. I don't know, but you know, I feel feel a very, very tight sense of community with them. And I know that other people have said the same thing in this team, but we really have gotten close because of the show. And we didn't have that intention. We didn't have that. That wasn't anything that we expected to have happen.
So who did you want to choke?
you want to choke them all at any given time. You know, there's, you know, at any time of the day or night, somebody's going to say something. It was dependent on who it was at what point in the day or who had done what to somebody. It didn't matter who it was. It's like you're a real family. You're at home. Sometimes you get along with each other, and sometimes you don't. You know, it's just
right.
It was like a real family that way. Yeah.
Now, did you watch season one?
Oh yeah, we watched it religiously. I didn't know about it until about halfway through, and then the kids came into the classroom screaming at me and, "Oh my God, have you seen this? Have you seen this? You got to see this. This is perfect for you." And I went, "Calm down. What are you talking about? You know," and. Then, you know, when I found out what it was, I went, "Oh my God, why didn't I know about this before now?" So, yeah, we watched it, but it was, you know, after the fact. The season had already started rolling. I think we were two or three episodes in. I didn't get to see the first two or three episodes, but once we found out about it, we started watching it in at lunch and stuff.
Right.
What do you think? A show like Face Off, especially because they've aired the first two seasons. Season three is coming up in August.
Yeah.
Hopefully there will be several seasons to come. What do you think a show like this, especially that it's been successful, does for the special effects community?
Well, I think it's done two things, basically. And what's really cool about it is it's reinforcing to Hollywood that the audience, meaning the movie-going audience, the television-viewing
mm-hmm.
audience, is clamoring for more practical artwork. And it illustrates, because of the popularity of the show, it illustrates to the Hollywood community that, yes, that is a definite fact. So you can't deny those numbers. But I also think, conversely, for those people, I'm seeing a lot of kids that are coming up to us at the conventions, and they're like, "Oh, because you don't want to go into this," and I go, "Oh God, the parents are going to hate me," you know. I don't want to say, "Well, now wait a minute, don't put the cart before the horse," kind of thing. You need to know it's not a steady career choice. Your parents are probably going to choke me if they get a hold of me, or. that's just my parents' generation was very, wanted you to go to school and be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, an accountant or something, a dentist, you know, something that somebody would, you know, stable life. Because they don't want to worry about you, you know. But this
right.
is, you know, for those people that love it and that have a passion for it, then I always say, look at me, I'm the ultimate late bloomer. I'm 36 and still found this as a port, hopefully, to more successful ventures. So, if you stay focused on something and you dedicate your life to something, your craft, what have you, you'll eventually be successful, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that success will find you. If you are that dedicated to something, and not to say that I'm successful in any way, shape, or form yet, but you know, things are coming, and you know, I'm working on a bunch of different. You've got so many irons in the fire right now; it's ridiculous. There's like, you know, just a ton of little things that are happening to build up to something, and I have a feeling it's all going to just hit all at once, and then I'm going to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, inundated. So, hopefully, good things will come because of it.
Right, exactly. What was one of the most challenging challenges that you had on Face Off?
One of the most challenging things, I think, well, they kind of built on each other. You know, it was like a video game. The next level is harder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Each level was hard. You know, we beat the boss at the end of the stage, and then the next level is harder. So that was kind of how I felt about it. So it progressively got more difficult as it went through the show. The last show, the finale, of course, was the most difficult one for me. It was just, my brain was mush. I was tired. I wanted my own bed. We had been, the beds that we're sleeping on were these little tiny twin beds. And, you know, so I just, it was time to go home. I wanted to, like, relax. You know, we'd been working so hard at such a breakneck speed for so long. It just felt like sluggish, you know, at that point. But I think, you know, all in all, at the end, we really, me and those girls really pulled it out. Those girls, I couldn't ask for better teammates, more talented teammates. What they put together was gorgeous. It moved well on stage. I was very proud of the work that we did for that finale.
Yeah, you did some really great work. Do you think that the atmosphere that was created for this particular show, you know, how you really have no connection to the outside world, no phones, no email or internet, and, you know, sleeping in beds that weren't your own, and just all of that stuff together, do you think that made for, did that make you more focused and really determined to put it all, you know, put everything that you had in this competition, or was some of that a distraction for you?
Well, you know, I think with any reality show, they all kind of have the same formula. They put you in what they call the reality bubble. You know, so I think that it's kind of designed to kind of stress you out a little bit because of that kind of stuff. You have contact with your loved ones. It's difficult, you know. I mean, look at Race. Young father, family of five kids, beautiful wife, and that's kind of be hard to have no contact with them, you know. So, you know, and even with me and my family, my immediate family, it was very difficult for me not to, you know, speak to my sister. You know, when you're used to seeing somebody every day, it's hard not to talk to them. I think at that point, but that's the whole idea. The idea is that you are not to be distracted by any of the trappings of the outside world. You need to stay focused and stay on target. And I think had I had to worry about, well, it doesn't mean that I wasn't, but, you know, to worry about the job and what's going on back home and, you know, that kind of thing, it was a minor distraction. I have a feeling that if I had been able to remove myself completely and not, you know, but I'm kind of a worrywart anyway, so that was never going to happen. you know, but yeah, that's what the point of it is. The point of it is to, yeah, help you get focused on what's going on. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I just lost the question that I had in mind. What are some of your favorite products to use or products that you feel like every FX artist should have in their kit?
Well, I really think everybody needs to have, now at this point, alcohol palettes or alcohol-based makeups, liquid makeups in their kit.
You mean like the Illustrator or?
Dim Illustrators, Real Effects, Temp2s, amazing adhesion, amazing durability that I've not been used to. I mean, you know, when I went to Joe Blasco, we were taught to use, you know, rubber mask grease paints and all this stuff. And now I get out there, everybody's doing this splatter trick with the brushes, the chip brushes, or an airbrush. And I'm seeing the difference in the overall paint jobs, and it's amazing. So, yeah, I would think everybody needs to have those. And I've started collecting quite a few of them since I've been on the show. But, you know, the show was a learning process for everybody. I think everybody took something away from the show that they didn't, you know at that point or weren't, you know, so strong in. I think that it was also like a gym, you know, you're flexing those muscles every day and that muscle's going to build up. So that was, Face Off was the makeup gym. I mean, we were using techniques and things that, you know, perhaps, like for me as a high school teacher, yeah, I've been teaching effects and I teach kids how to make prosthetics and stuff like that. But there are things that we don't do And, you know, when you don't do something every day, you kind of get rusty at it. So it was kind of like a little bit of a refresher for me as well.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like so many of the artists on season two, like everyone had so many different things that they did. Like their backgrounds were so different. Like I look at season one and it seems like pretty much everyone, you know, was kind of on track at trying to be an effects artist. But so many people did so many things on season two, you know, but then they all came together, to, you know, to compete at the same thing. It's like, what do you think it takes to be a great special effects artist?
I think, you know, that's a really good question. I think if you, like I said before, I think if you just have that passion, because you can focus on what you want to focus on and learn. You know, if you're a mediocre artist, all it takes is practice to build your skill level. And a lot of it, literally, is technique. Sculpture, even, is a learned skill. You can learn to be a better sculptor from watching someone else. You know, it's like, it's just practice. So keep practicing. If you're not as good as you want to be, keep practicing. Keep doing things. I cannot tell you how many demos I've done since the show's been over with, which has helped me reinforce the things that I learned painting-wise on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
that's the whole thing, is you just keep doing, whether you're getting paid or not, do it because you love it.
If you
do it because you love it and it's a hobby for you, then like they always say, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right. Absolutely. What was that aging challenge like for you on season two?
You want me to be honest with you?
Yes.
There's something that happened during that challenge that I can't really discuss because of, you know, the contracts and things. But what I can tell you is this. I don't know that. Let's put it this way. All of the models, all of the actors on the show had been previously tested for allergic reactions before the show even began, before they even started taping. I mean, they go to great lengths to make sure things like that don't happen. So I will say this. I don't know how genuine the reaction was. So that's what I'll say about that, and that's about all I can say. But I will tell you, it was one of those situations for me that, you know, you think, oh, my God, this is turning out like a turd, and then you end up smelling like a rose. I don't know how that happened, but they were really – the funny thing is a lot of people on set said they thought that the sculpt looked better on the girl that I put it on than the one that it was made for. I don't know. Thanks for the backhanded compliment, but, you know.
Right.
So I'll tell you, it was fun for me to be able to do that. The funny thing is, to me, too, is I felt very at ease sculpting in old age because I've done it many times. I'm also looking at my family is now all in that age group. They're all in their late 60s, early 70s. So I'm seeing this firsthand, how my family has aged. You know, so it's not, you know, I'm not some 20-year-old kid looking at a 50-year-old parent, which probably would have helped somebody if they were doing the 50-year-old. But what I'm seeing now are people that are 75. So it was kind of natural for me to actually sculpt that look. And all I, you know, remember is, you know, keeping it as thin as possible is really a good, you know, point when you're doing any kind of full facial appliance. You know, the thinner it is, the better it's going to move. And there's a few differentiations for me where you talk about, well, is this a makeup or is it a mask, or, you know, a masky type of a makeup? You know, so to me, a makeup, a real appliance makeup is one that has pieces applied to. Then you've got the masky makeup that is a full sheet that literally just gets glued onto the person's face with only the eye holes sticking out. That, to me, is very masky. But then it's also considered a makeup because you're literally applying that to the face. It's different than an actual mask that pulls over and has a lot of empty space on the inside of it. So, you know, we talk about those things a lot in the high school because we do these theater conferences, and they do have, you know, categories for makeups and masks. And so we always talk about things like that in great detail. I do anyway with my kids. I call them my kids. I don't biologically have any kids.
What was your hometown's response to you on Face Off while you were doing Face Off?
Oh gosh, that's good. You guys are full of good questions. The hometown response was really, really nice. In fact, I will be honest with you. Had it not been for the hometown, I don't think I would have been on the show. Well, I can maybe not really say that so much, but I do know that it was their support, everybody in Charleston that got online and voted and voted and voted to get me on the show after the Comic-Con challenge. I just feel so indebted to everybody around here. I mean, I think, you know, West Virginia pride runs deep. You know, these people are very proud of their people that have gone out and made them look good. It was very important to me, especially as a teacher, to go on national television. At this point, international television. Somebody literally just sent me a friend request from Brazil the other day. So they're watching it down there. And, you know, it was very important for me to represent the people of West Virginia with intelligence, compassion, and a sense of right and wrong, because I knew mm-hmm. I was going into an environment where that was going to be tested. They kind of, you know, put you up to these situations where they kind of want you to, you know, make a fool out of yourself or show your butt on TV kind of thing. And I was not about to do that. I wasn't going to allow myself to lose control. I wanted
right.
to make sure that I did right by the people that put me on the show and by the people that I'm so attuned with. I love the people of this state. You know, and this is always going to be my home, no matter where I end up working. This is my home.
Cool. And what were the students that you work with, what was their response like when you were finally able to talk with them again?
That was funny. I mean, because I came home in early November, and we couldn't really talk about it until the show aired, because I was supposed to be a secret. You remember? I don't know if you remember that, but I was this big, ooh, who won the Comic-Con thing, you know?
Right, right.
And, yeah. So people weren't supposed to know that I had even gone anywhere. So I really, you know, everybody else got announced, and then there was I. You know, I'm sitting there going, okay, I can't say anything, but in a couple of months, you know. So it was really kind of funny. The kids made up all kinds of funny stories about where I had gone. I think a couple of them said, I don't know if I should tell you, these are kind of off color a little bit, but some of the kids said that I had to go to the Betty Ford Clinic, or somebody said I was in jail because I had a DUI. They made up all kinds of funny stories about me.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, they were kids, you know, kids are having fun. But when I came back when the show started airing, we had these viewing parties at a local restaurant. So a lot of the kids and their parents would actually come in, and we would all, you know, with other members of the community, family members and whatnot, we would come down, gather, and have a great time watching the show. Even if we couldn't hear it, they all came in and we all watched it together, so it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about, because I was looking at your website the other day, tell me a little bit about the costuming that you do.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, you know, for me, living out here, and I think I touched on it at the beginning when I talked about Halloween and stuff, you know, it was always wanting to have the coolest Halloween costume, or wanting to duplicate a character that I loved from a particular movie, like Beetlejuice or the Joker from Batman or the Penguin or some, you know, these Batman villains. I always wanted to do, every time a Batman movie came out, I had to be that villain from the movie, you know, for Halloween. And,
mm-hmm.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, so I wanted to make sure that it's all about, for me, and this is kind of, you know, if you look at the work that I did on the show, too, it's very, very representative of what I did on the show as well. I would want to complete the character. You know, and a lot of times it's like I said, you can't go out and buy those foam appliances. You have to learn how to make those things on your own. But then you spend all the time in the world making a really cool face, and then you go to a Halloween costume shop, and something comes out of a bag, and it's all wrinkled, and it's one piece from neck to ankle, and you look at it, and you go, wow, that's really underwhelming. I just, this, you know, you just doesn't. And you have to learn some more things. And I literally, as a kid, hadn't taken sewing since eighth grade home ec. You know, I didn't have any idea how to sew. I just would grab a machine. And I just thought to myself, you know, look, it's like baking a cake. There's instructions to baking a cake. There's instructions in a pattern. If I go find a pattern, I should be able to put this thing together. I've always been that way. If I've set my mind to doing something, I figure it out. I'm a very quick learner. I can do whatever I set my mind to doing. I end up getting it done. It may not look right the first couple of times, but, you know, after that, you know, it's all a learning process. Life is a learning process. You always want to continually learn new things. When I came back from California, I spent a year in the graduate program at WVU in costume design, so I kind of honed those skills a little bit further. And I kind of realized, you know, my real love was doing the animatronic puppetry and the effects makeup. And so I didn't know that I wanted to continue on to get the graduate degree in costuming, because I didn't want to be known as a costume designer. I wanted to be known, you know, firstly as an effects artist. So that's why, you know, that's why I put that on hold and, you know, went back to teaching. And I kind of just got stuck in the classroom, really, is what happened. Just having such a good time passing on what I learned to these kids.
Nice.
So now I just make the costumes just to complete the full character. And that's basically
right. What is this that I've been seeing around? What is the new app that you have that's going to be on iTunes? What is that all about?
Oh, that's kind of the fun thing that we came up with. You know, the idea about the show is, one of the casting directors told me this when it was way back in the very beginning stages of it. She said, you know, I've seen people go from the shows and go back to their little old lives. But I've also seen people do really great things after these shows are over. And I finally thought about it, and I thought, you know what? I want to be one of those people that does really great things. So how do I do that? How do I, you know, keep myself out there in the public eye once the show is over, once season 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and whatnot have all come and gone? How do you stand out at that point? You've really got to make a name for yourself outside of the show. It's the way people like Madonna and Cher have constantly been in the eye for so many years. They're constantly reinventing themselves. So you kind of have to, you know, what as an effects artist can you do to reinvent yourself? What can I do to step away from Face Off but yet not forget about Face Off? We want to emphasize Face Off for now. And a year from now, is that really the same? Am I going to be in the same mindset? I don't know. Hopefully something big will come along before then. Right now we're working, like I said, so I thought the app would help accomplish that. I'm working on doing these seminars and workshops, and I thought that the app would be a great way to advertise those things to people, because what are we all? We're always on our phones now. We're always playing with our phones. You know, I can understand the reason they took our phones from us on the show, because the day they gave them back to us, nobody said a word all day. They were sitting there playing with their phones, myself included. So an app seems like a logical thing to have for me. It seems like a logical thing. You know, a home website doesn't seem like something that you need anymore unless you're doing some e-commerce. I've even seen some people do e-commerce off of Facebook. So, you know, I think you have a Facebook page, you work with your fans, you talk to your fans. We've been going to the conventions and meeting fans and loving every minute of that, just because it's nice to get to have some kind of intimate contact with those people who have already an intimate relationship that they feel with you, because they've seen you for the last 10 weeks on television. We don't know anything about them, so it's fun for us to be able to talk to them. So with the app, it kind of it, you know, breaks down that wall a little further and makes me a little bit more accessible to people too. I'll post things when I can get up there to, you know, get to do them. And it's up now. It's available now on the iTunes store. A great guy named Charles Terry at Haunt Apps is the one that's put it together for me. And we, we're working right now to get the Android version out because a lot of people keep asking for an Android version. But because Androids are so many different
devices.
It takes longer to program for all those different devices, not just one device. So it's taking a little bit of time to get the Android version out. But right now the iPhone version is ready to go, and people are playing with it and thinking it's a lot of fun. Eventually you'll be able to purchase tickets on it for the workshops. You'll even be able to download in-app content like small short tutorials, tips and tricks for, you know, $2 or $3 a piece for a video tutorial. Even some funny ringtones. We're working on some funny RJ-isms, ringtones kind of thing. So, you know.
Well, speaking of...
Oh, hell no. You know, or look out, the rhinoceros. You know, some of those things from this show that people really thought were funny. So.
What's the name of it again, RJ?
Oh, the app is just RJ Hattie. Just look up RJ Hattie in the iTunes store. And you'll find it.
Okay. And I wanted to say, since you brought up videos with tips and things like that, I was going to ask you earlier, do you have any plans on doing any, like, instructional DVDs? Because I see that you take your show on the road, but there may be some people out there who can't even afford, to do your workshops that you take out on the road. Like, or they may not be able to do, like, a week-long workshop or something. If they just wanted, like, a DVD or something that they could watch over and over, have you had any plans on doing something like that?
One of the things that I'm working with right now is we're trying to find a company that can do some – I haven't decided to do a DVD yet, but we're looking at doing something a little bit different, but along the same lines, is a pay-per-view webinar where, like, you guys would, say, pay $10. And you would be able to do the same thing that you guys are doing, except there'd be video involved with it, too. We'd be streaming video. People could ask me questions while I'm working. And it would be literally like a live seminar, but over the Internet. So that's hopefully what I'm working towards right now. And that should happen before the end of the year. So watch my Facebook fan page, watch the app, and we'll see if that happens before the end of the year. If not, we're looking at around Christmas time, right after the first of the year, to have this happen. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because that was one of the key things for me was, you know, I wanted to do hands-on workshops at first. I thought, well, people really want to get their hands into it, and they want to do it. But the problem with the hands-on workshops is you have to provide materials. And as you know, this is not an inexpensive hobby. It's not a go to Michael's and pick up $10 or $20 worth of things and make a scrapbook. You're spending hundreds of dollars just on the materials. So we had to figure out a way, if we're going to take a workshop on the road, to have to figure out a way to take all those materials along with us and then also make it worth our while and cover the cost of the materials as well. And it's not cheap. So working with trying to get those costs down is why I haven't been able to get the workshops going outside of Charleston yet. But there are a couple of things happening in West Virginia. I just completed another seminar, and so that's why I went with the seminars at this point. I did a seminar just yesterday in Fairmont, and that was part three, where I explained, you know, the casting process with foam and gelatin and different materials that way. If we get the cost down, the hands-on workshops would be really a lot of fun to do. But seminars at, you know, $35 a piece isn't what's beyond the realm of most people's pocketbooks. So people can afford that if they can get to them. But that's the problem with getting those seminars to those people. So, you know, if there's somebody out there that would like to host a seminar and have me come out, then, just contact me and we can work something out. And I definitely am open to going to different places, putting seminars on for a certain group. So, you know, see what happens.
Nice. Let's see. There was a question that I have for you.
Here we go.
What do you think, or do you think, there's something that the producers of Face Off could do to make the show better? Or do you think it's fine exactly how it is?
Oh, shoot. Well, you know, that's the funny thing. It was really funny. We went to IMATS, when we were at IMATS, I think when I met you guys, and spoke to Rick Baker. That was really cool. One of the things that, you know, we discussed is, you know, what about this time frame thing? I mean, is this logical, or is it putting forth unrealistic expectations for people to be able to assume that, oh, well, you did it on the show in this amount of time, you can do that for this production, you know? So, you know, and it doesn't work that way. So I don't know, but if you remove the time constraints and you just let people work and judge their artwork, then it becomes something entirely different. So that's one of the things that we've been, you know, trying to figure out. I don't know. That's a tough question, to be honest with you. I do know that maybe if there weren't, I'd like to see more episodes.
Season.
I felt like it's a really short season. Like 10 episodes is a short season. Most television shows are 13 episodes, but as they go, you know, in subsequent years, they usually purchase more episodes per season. But I'd like to see more episodes per season. I think that would be more fun and less. 14 people was really difficult for us. We had a 14-member cast. Season 3 only has a 12-member cast. So I think that they went back to 12 after they did. And that's what they do. They experiment. Each season is an experimentation. Well, what can we do this time that we didn't do last time? And then, maybe that didn't work so good this season. Let's try something different. So, you know, there's always something. You know, it could go the route of American Idol where people are calling in. That would be fun. You'd have to do it live, though, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'd like to see that happen eventually. That would be a fun thing for the audience to really feel like they're part of the process, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? One thing that I would like to see is especially if they, you know, had like 13 episodes, I would like to see like one or two of the episodes where you really get to know the contestants. You know, you really get, you know, they talk more about their backgrounds and you know, what they did before getting casted on the show and things like that. And, you know, maybe seeing like their auditions, you know. So you can kind of have a feeling of what they can do before the show starts.
That's another thing. I think as people gravitated to those artists that they liked because of their personality, it also rose their assessment of their artistic ability too. So if somebody likes you, you know, it's really a psychological thing as a viewer too. You know, people may not be as talented or may not have the skills as much as another person does, but all they have to do is like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I asked that question because season 3 is approaching. It'll premiere on Tuesday, August 21st at 9 p.m., and I believe that's a new date and time, if I'm not mistaken. Tuesday at 9, and I believe it used to be Thursdays at 10. So that's a new date and time. So
sure they'll get more. They'll get more of an audience. You know, I mean, that's the thing. 10 o'clock.
I think so.
10 o'clock Wednesdays was late. I mean, that's what we talked about. Everybody would come into the restaurant at night, and they'd be like, "I hope you know how much I like you to come out at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday." And I'm like, "Well, you know, you don't have to come. I don't really ask." You know, I would say, "Well, you know, you don't have to. Well, I want to come." I'd go, "Okay, well, then sit down and have a drink and." Have a good time with us. But I mean, that was one of the things. It was a late time slot for something like that.
Yeah.
Especially that show, because it's very family oriented. Another thing I didn't realize was how many little kids
watch it.
Are watching this show. Yeah. I mean, I knew it was kid oriented. I knew we had I knew we had like the 8 to 14-year-old age group. I didn't realize we had the 8 and unders. I mean, it was phenomenal to see all these little tiny people coming up to me. And I had this one little kid here in the local Best Buy. And I didn't think about it at the time, but I kind of noticed this little boy was following me around the store. I'm like, where's this kid's mother? You know, I mean, and finally, as we're getting ready to check out, we're standing there in line, and I'm paying for, you know, whatever I was buying, and the little boy comes up to me, points at me, and yells, "Hey, Tom!" and then runs away and then hides behind his mom. I was like, oh, okay. He was little. I mean, he couldn't have been any more than 3 or 4 years old. So I didn't realize the kids that little, you know, were watching the show.
Well, this season 3, 11 contestants will battle for a shot at $100,000 and also the opportunity to become a guest lecturer at the Makeup Forever Academy in New York and Paris. That's interesting.
That's pretty cool,
That'll be good. And my sister will be happy to know that it is official. Her friend, Carpathine Childs, is a contestant on Face Off. She suspected it, and it's true. And another Georgia person, Carpathine is Marietta, Georgia, but then also there's, I don't know if my sister knows this person, but Roy Woolley from Tucker, Georgia, will be there. And a couple of Florida people, a couple of California people, and someone from New York, and someone from Vancouver. Interesting.
Yeah, they're from all over this time.
Yeah, they're from all over, and the ages seem to be a little older than past seasons. A little older, you know.
Do you have a problem with that, or do you just want to see young people on TV? What do you think?
I don't have a problem with that at all. And as a matter of fact, I don't mind seeing, you know, one or two older people. To me, sometimes age means experience, but, you know, I'm assuming that who knows, this person could have kind of started later. But if they did start when they were younger, it's nice to see in a contest some people who kind of are experienced, whether they, you know, not to say that they're going to be the ones who win because they know everything or anything like that. That's not the case. But it's always good to mix it up. Some that are not so experienced, some that are, like, experienced and has done it all kind of thing. It's kind of good to see the mix.
I think so, too. I was so happy to see that they didn't stick to the age card. You know, everything you have to be young to be hip. I mean, I just don't agree with that at all. Probably because I'm old. But I just don't think that that's valid anymore. I mean, you know, like they say 30 is the new 20 and 40 is the new 30, whatever. But it's kind of true. You know, it sounds trite, but it is very true. I mean, we're living longer. We're healthier than the previous generation, I think. And the other thing is, too, this is not such a good thing, but it is taking longer for people to get established nowadays because of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not such a bad idea to have people that are older on a reality show such as Face Off, because it does show people that you can be, you know, at a certain point with your career and your life and still need a little bit of a boost to help out, you know. Especially in a field like our field, because it is so demanding and it is so iffy that you're even going to get anywhere with it at a certain point. So, you know, there's very few Rick Bakers, Greg Canhams, and Stan Wistons. You know, very few people like that. So, you know, not everybody, you know, whereas you could be a teacher and excel to the pinnacle of your career, or you could be a doctor and excel to the pinnacle of that career. But, you know what I mean? It's harder to make a mark, leave a mark in your field that way.
Right. We have a question from the chat room for you, RJ.
Okay.
And I'll just read everything that he wrote. He says, "I know you spent a number of years in California working on big budget motion pictures. West Virginia doesn't exactly offer these same type of opportunities. Do you see yourself going back someday soon, full time? Thanks. Peace out."
Yeah, actually, I do see myself going back someday soon. right now, you know, again, he came home for certain reasons. So trying to tie up some loose ends, you know, you can't tie up 10 years of stuff in 18 months. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is still, you know, I've been going back, as you can tell if you follow me on Facebook or whatnot, you can see that I've been going back frequently to try and network and try to meet with people and set some things up, and talks with some of the makeup schools out there to do a little teaching at some of those schools. You know, trying to get some things going so that that is a little bit more logical of a choice than to stay here and try to open a studio. At the time, when they ask you those questions for the TV show, that was the idea. I've since seen that it's not exactly a logical choice. But, you know, that's where you go, well, that money sure would have come in handy. But regardless, the other thing is Hollywood is not the only answer. You can... There are so many different career paths for people with our skill sets. Look at Jerry. I mean, Jerry is a toy sculptor and makes toys. Rod Maxwell, who is a contestant on season 3, does a myriad of different things. He's a director and a computer whiz. So, you know, I mean, people, you don't have to stick with the mentality that Hollywood is the only thing. Look at Roy. Roy is a big guy with the haunt industry. So is Matt from our season. So there's all different kind of career paths that are offered to us. And you know, what I'd like to do at this point is continue on traveling and doing some of these seminars and things for people that are, you know, around the country, travel a little bit while, you know, in the process and meet people. And we've been doing conventions. We're really enjoying the convention circuit. And setting up classes at those conventions. So, you know, there's not just one street. You know, you can take many different roads to get to that goal. And that's what I'm trying to do at this point. So, yeah.
Nice.
I hope that, does that answer that? I hope so.
yeah, that answered that. So how did it feel to be one of the top three remaining? At the end of the season,
that was a big shock to me. I was really, really honored to be on the show in the first place. And then when you get to the show, you go, okay, well, if I can make it to this episode, I'll be happy. And then once you make it to that episode, you go, I got to make it to the end now. You know, you're not satisfied with anything that you attain. I think it's the environment almost, but we got to the end, the three of us, and we were all very shocked. I think, you know, it was very surreal. That's a good word. It's very surreal to get to the end. And I was very flattered because excuse me, sorry about that. I was very flattered because, as you can see, I was in the midst of some very, very talented, intense competitors. So to have gotten that far was a big honor. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very humbling. Humbling is a good word. Yeah, very humbling.
Absolutely. And our last question, RJ, has nothing to do with Face Off, but we always ask our guests, what is beauty to you?
What? I'm sorry, what?
What is beauty to you?
Oh, I think beauty is something that comes from within. I think that you could physically be the aesthetic of what people want to see. But as long as you're comfortable in your own skin and you project yourself in the right way, you're not an ugly person on the inside, that internal beauty will shine through no matter what. So that's what beauty is to me, just being yourself and and being kind to those people around you. That's really what's beautiful.
Nice. Exactly. Very nice. Well, we thank you so much. We know you had a busy weekend, so we thank you for just stopping and taking some time to share with us on a Sunday.
Well,
I'm very flattered that you asked
me to be on, and it was a pleasure to meet you girls at IMAX. You're very beautiful. That's a good way to end the show. You're very beautiful ladies, and I was very flattered that you would even ask me to be on the show.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that so much. Well, we'll be following you on Facebook and Twitter. We already posted your information in the chat room so everyone else can follow you as well. And when you have classes or anything like that, just shoot us an email and we'll make announcements here on the show so people can, you know, hear about your classes.
Sounds
and
good.
That kind of thing. We'll talk
check out
about
my YouTube. Check out my YouTube channel right now. We've got all those little seminars and demos. We usually put little videos up, and you can see me doing a little bit of a demo high speed if you want to on YouTube right now. So you can check those out if you guys are interested.
What's your YouTube channel?
Oh, it's just RJ Rad FX, and you can see all the videos. One of my former students has been editing them together and putting them together for me. So it turned out okay, and we thought that they were fun, and the fans have enjoyed looking at them. So go check those out. You guys might like them too.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks a bunch. All right. So with that being said, again, continued success. We can't wait to hear about all that
you
have going on. And we will chat with you soon.
I hope so. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Thank you, RJ.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. For those of you who enjoyed tonight's show, please go out here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. You can join us over on the Beauty Talk Facebook fan page for a few minutes. And also, if you have additional comments or questions or suggestions of people or guests you may want to see on the show, just shoot us an email at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. We have David Classfield of OCC as our guest for next Sunday night. He'll be here to talk about all the exciting things that's happening with OCC, so please join us for that. We have a couple of other exciting shows scheduled for the weeks to come after that, but we'll wait till next week or so to make those announcements as well. Continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for update information. And as always, continue to be beautiful and blessed. Have a great night.
Good night.